trumpet's voice shall sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. All other ground is sinking. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good morning. Welcome to church, everyone. It's good to see you all. For those who might be listening in or visiting us today, a very special welcome to you this morning. We continue our little Bible teaching through Luke's Gospel, and we're thinking about the certainty of the things that we have been taught from God's Word regarding Jesus and living life His way. Our mission focus for this month, as you're aware, is on the work of God in remote parts of Australia through the work of the Bush Church Aid Society. And we're thinking particularly of the Pharisee family, whom some of you do know of, because they were student ministers here some time back, and their three children, Rachel, Jessica and Emily. And so in our time of prayer, we'll uphold them today, and they are encouraged by our prayers for them, having contacted them during the week. And so we're mindful of being partners in ministry with them on one side of Australia and on the other side of Australia. We're also glad that David came amongst us last Sunday, David Anthony's, who's the chaplain at Concord Hospital. And thank you for making him feel welcome. He is very much a part of the ministry in the wider area here. And if ever we're in Concord Hospital or know of people from our parish or community that are there, it's good to know that we have someone like David, whom we're aware of, whom we can connect up with, and an extension of our care for people in the area and in our church family. Well, a sentence of scripture to help us and prepare us for what we are to hear from God's word and what we're going to be seeing about and praying together and encouraging one another comes from Luke's Gospel. And it's the passage, a little bit, that where our Bible reading finishes on. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord," Jesus said, "and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built on good foundation." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, so far we've seen that Jesus has authority over evil spirits. We've seen that Jesus has authority over sickness and the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. We've also seen that Jesus has authority over nature in calming the storm. And we've also seen that Jesus has authority to call people, young and old, to follow him. And last week when we came together, we thought, can Jesus have authority over someone who's close to death and dying? Can he heal them? And can he raise someone from the dead? And the answer that we heard from God's word is yes, he can. Who is this man? This is Jesus. And so our first song we're going to be singing together is "The Voice of the Lord." Now, it's Rosemary and I today. Sam sent forward his apologies. And Sam, if you're listening in today, we're mindful of you and we're praying for you and hope you get better soon. But we're going to sing this together. It's one we have sung before, and it reminds us of the authority of our Lord and Saviour, King Jesus. Please stand.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters with power and strength and glorious thunder. And the earth will shake, the trees will fall as the voice of God is heard. See the flame burst forth, new life is born. And his people cry, glory. The voice of the Lord is mighty to conquer. The power of death is power no longer. The blind will see, and the dead will rise again. For the word of God has walked with us, and he makes us cry, glory. The Lord enthroned forever, he is king. Trees will fall as the voice of God is heard. See the flame burst forth, new life is born, and his people cry, glory. And the lame will dance, the blind will see, and the dead will rise again. For the word of God has walked with us, and he makes us cry, glory. The Lord enthroned forever, he is king. The Lord enthroned forever, he is king. The Lord enthroned forever, he is king.
Sometimes we don't feel that the Lord is king, and sometimes that makes us feel really, really sad. And it's hard to live in God's world as his disciples, knowing that it's sometimes sad and hard being a disciple of God. I wonder what Jesus has to teach us from his word about how to live as his disciples in a world that's very different to the way in which we choose to live. And that's what our kids will be learning in Kids Church. And we'll be learning about today in our Bible teaching time. So let me pray for the kids and Sunday school teachers as we go off. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for family, especially your church family. And we thank you for gathering us together this morning in obedience to your word. We pray for our kids' church teachers and for the kids that come along and those listening in. We pray that they may grow, that we may grow in our knowledge and love of you, and to know how to live life as disciples of Christ together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, off you go, kids. Off you go, teachers. And if we could all turn around to the person next to you and just say good morning. Welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. COVID safely, of course. Absolutely. Just take a few moments just to greet the people around about you. Lord be with you, Diane. Immediately. immediately after our service today is the AGM, and I invite you to please stay behind. So when you go and get your coffee or tea or morning tea, grab it quickly and move back inside and sign the declarations, and then come and sit down as well too. As I said earlier on, it's good to meet with each other and to encourage one another as we wait for Christ's return and to praise God. And so we begin by doing just that together as his people. So will you say with me this form of praise to our God together? Praise God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts now to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Rosemary, thank you for coming and reading the Bible verses for it. We can follow along in our orders of service or on the screen above or in your Bibles in the pews.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning, you can settle in, it's a reasonably long one, is from Luke chapter 6 and starting at verse 17. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Rosemary. Please leave your Bibles open or to the handout that's inside your newsletters that has the Bible reading there in front of you. I'm not sure what page it is in your pew Bibles, if you've neither got neither of those there with you, but please turn with me to the passage. It is a long passage. I think we're quite familiar with floods and torrents of storms at the moment on the news and the radio. We've seen what the effect of that has completely. We can imagine the situation of what that is. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you do not leave us with ideas as to who you are and how to live accordingly in relationship with you, God. As we now pray that you've given to us your Spirit, you've given to us your word, and together, Heavenly Father, they guide us into truth. Grant us the grace, Heavenly Father, to apply your word to our lives, to be as the one who has built our house on a rock. And so, Father, help me to teach that word correctly today, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the passage before us, there is much in these verses before us this morning, and there's actually more than we can cover in this one sermon this morning. But chiefly, the verses that are before us this morning explain and confirm what it actually means to be a disciple of Christ, and specifically what it means to be a disciple of Christ in the world. In the big, wide world that reaches into our lounge rooms through our TVs, and as we gaze in moments of self-interest, mesmerised into our phones. And also is in our little worlds that we mingle with and engage every day of our lives, at home, at work, at play and worship. What we have before us this morning is what we've been told we are to be certain of regarding Jesus, what he has taught us, and being a disciple of him. In a nutshell, what it means to be a disciple of Christ, or as our mission statement as a church, a follower of Jesus together. So, as I said, there is much in the verses before us, more than we can cover this morning, and it would be good to give ourselves more time in the week to consider them, either in your midweek Bible study groups, or sometime this afternoon, or sometime during the week, to go over them and to pray accordingly and to think deeply on what we are learning of Jesus and what it means to live as a disciple of his, God's way. What we have before us is Luke's account of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's account is much bigger and much longer, and it seems to be that Luke's account is an abridged account that fits neatly into the reason for him writing his gospel. It comes just after Jesus has chosen his disciples, who will later be his apostles, who will go on and continue his ministry that we read of in the book of Acts. And it also, then what follows after this, are the two accounts that we heard read to us and preached on last week, Jesus showing his authority over death, and the reason why it is wise and worthwhile and certain for us to put our faith in Jesus because of who he is and what he is able to do. The one who is God's Son with all the authority of God in him and with him. And so let's look at these verses before us this morning and consider what we do learn of Jesus and what it means for us to be a disciple of his. So look with me there firstly. We have a situation awareness in verses 17 through to 26. We read that after having chosen his disciples, there in verse 17, Jesus, the words deliberately used here by Luke to account for what Jesus goes with his disciples down. The picture that we're getting here is of Jesus coming alongside, being one of with the disciples, one with them, coming down to a level place. Now, it's interesting that they call it a level place or a plain, because the word is actually not to describe a plain that's chosen here, but a levelling place, a place where it most probably was a mound, but Luke is referring to here a place where Jesus can eyeball his disciples, and it's on a level ground here. And he's humbling himself to come alongside, and he's saying to his disciples, look, you are no greater. You are not greater than me, all right? You are to put into practice what you see and hear in me. He's eyeballing his disciples and those who are listening in, the crowd that are around about, particularly though those his disciples, because he's looking at them. And he's telling you, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a disciple of mine, this is what it means for you. So don't be surprised, okay? But be encouraged. Now, with them is a large crowd, and with the disciples, a great number of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. That's just north of the Sea of Galilee and to the west, from your perspective, up that way, up there. And they'd come here to hear Jesus. And again, Luke points out that the most important thing for disciples and followers of Jesus is to hear what he has to say. But also there are people there coming there to be healed, to have their sicknesses fixed, and those they're troubled about with evil spirits to be healed. But they've come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those also who were troubled by impure spirits. And the people all tried to touch him, and because power was coming from him and healing all of them. It's an awesome situation there to be here, the crowding in and the following, the need for Jesus, and to listen to what he had to say. They're hanging on every word and of him. But then he's looking at his disciples now, and he's mindful of everybody else around, but he's looking at those who have chosen to follow him. He's looking at you. He's looking at me, Luke's saying to us, as disciples of Christ. And he goes and tells us about our situation, about the disciple. Firstly, he says a number of things here that he says that are positive, and also other things that are negative. The positive things that we may not feel like we're experiencing, but the negative things that we certainly do feel as a disciple of Christ. And he points out to them, he says, blessed are you who are poor. And Luke, it's not necessarily here being financially poor, it's just poor as in feeling unsatisfied or going without or not having all fullness or feeling that way. He says, look, yours is the kingdom of God. You belong in the kingdom of God. And remember, Jesus has come down and he's talking here with his disciples, eyeballing. This is not him talking to them, your privilege. He's one of them, alongside them, saying, this is as much as yours as it is mine. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, thirsting for things, for longing for heaven now, longing for what is right and what is good in the world, longing for it now. He says, you will be satisfied. Future, you will be satisfied. A future reality that has a present significance now, knowing of the truth of it. Blessed are you who weep because of life situations of being a disciple of Christ. Blessed are you who weep now. Because why? For one day you'll look back and you'll laugh in the kingdom of heaven and you'll see how wonderful this is, what God has achieved for us in Christ. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, and they insult you, and they reject you, your name as evil, because of me, Jesus is saying to them and to us, because of being a follower of his. How are we to respond? We think of what we have and will have in all its fullness. And he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Rejoice. Give thanks in all circumstances, for why, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God is with you. He's helping you through it. He's promised things for us now. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. And then he says, don't be surprised. Don't think that heaven's now, that everything's going to be rosy because you're a Christian. It's going to be the opposite. That's the reality of following Christ, of being a disciple his. For that's exactly how they treated the faithful ones of the past. In a way, it's proof of our being right with God and a disciple of his, that we face that opposition, not looking for it, but experiencing it, because we simply love Jesus and live life his way. But then he says to those who think, here is a warning though. In the world, there's the temptations of the world. And that's why we pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. He says, in the world, there'll be the temptation to follow what satisfies in the world. But whoa, that won't satisfy. That won't be the lasting joy. That'll keep you in a state of confusion and unsatisfied time if you keep longing for these things, knowing that this is coming here. Woe to you who are rich. You have already, if you're satisfied in that, well, you've got your reward. It's nothing really compared to what God has prepared for us. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you're hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you who, when everyone speaks well of you, if you're looking for that. That's how they spoke of the ancestors who treated their false prophets, the false prophets. But to you who are listening, and he says, to you who have ears to hear, elsewhere, that's how he uses that word. You who are listening, are you listening? This is how we are to live as disciples of Christ. This is what we are to be certain of. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them also the other. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt as well. Give them to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. It's so counterculture, isn't it? So different to the world. But remember, Jesus is looking at us, eyeballing us. We are God's instruments of making a difference in the world, as small and as seemingly insignificant as we might think and feel we are, he brings us alongside us and he says, you want this? You want this to be what the world can be like? You are the ones who are the ones who just set the example. You are to be as Christ. I am to be as Christ. I'm not to wait for the world to be what I want to be or want it to be. Then I will comply, despite what they continue or don't do. I, as a disciple of Christ, am to make a difference and start the process rolling daily at home, in my work, a church, a play, and in the world and wide as a disciples of Christ. I'm to be as Christ in the world. And it means this. It means doing what is good and right myself before I wait for the other. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Don't wait for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Again, counterculture, counterworld. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. Do you long to hear the words from Jesus? Well done, good and faithful servant. I saw everything you've done. I saw the little thing you think is nothing. I saw it. Well done. Or do we long for the immediate praise of the neighbour or the brother or sister in Christ for an act of kindness that we deliberately went out to do and be seen to be done? Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. For great is your reward. Your reward will be great and you will be called children of the Most High. Because why? He is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful, and he is kind to the wicked. He was unkind. He was kind to me, the ungrateful and the wicked. And he is kind to you and been to you too, who deep down because of our sinfulness are ungrateful and wicked. He has shown mercy to us. And we are to show mercy to be like Jesus. Do not judge. It says point here. Do not judge or you'll be judged. Don't say, okay, for that person I will be like this or that person I will be like that, because that seems wise to do that. And that doesn't seem so wise to do that. Do not judge. Be equal with all, treating all the same. Do not condemn. Wipe them off. For that is the way we will be treated, condemned, wiped off. Forgive, if you have been forgiven. Someone comes to you and says, I'm sorry, please forgive me for what I've done. Then we are to forgive them. How many times? Seven? 70 times seven, continually. To be like God, to be like Jesus. Give and it will be given to you. Do unto others. And it'll be done unto you. A good measure, God's saying to us. You won't be ripped off. You won't feel, and that's everything we feel. We feel like we're going to be ripped off. This is stupid. No, you will not be ripped off. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Maybe if we're not expecting, getting much back from that, how much are we giving? Right? He also told them this parable. It seems weird to have this little bit in the middle of it, and it's not meant to stand on its own. None of it is, because it all flows in from the other. So we've got to ask the question, where does this fit in to what Luke's recording here? And he says, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? He's saying to us who are disciples, you are not blind. You are the ones who see, right? You are the ones who are meant to lead those who are blind. So don't think of yourself as blind or be content to be blind. How can you be of any benefit to the world as disciples of Christ unless you realize that we are see and lead? The student is not above the teacher. Oh, yes. You know, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Again, eyeballing us, Jesus is saying. Alongside us, he says, you're not greater than me, Jesus is saying. This is not just a job for Jesus to be doing or for the minister to be just doing. It's for all of us to be doing, to being disciples. We can't say above God, we know better than you, God, in the world how to live as disciples. This is how God wants us to live as disciples of Christ. This is what we are to be certain of, that Jesus has taught us about himself and how to live as his disciples. And how can we then, if we are blinded by the planks that are in our eyes, think that we can be of any help to others? First, take the stump out of the slog out of our own eyes, then we can see clearly to help the other. Pray every day, Father, forgive me for my sins. Continue to make me more and more like Jesus, that I may be like Jesus to those around about us. And then he reminds them, not only are they seers, but also we are meant to be good trees. Rosemary and I like gardening, and we like to have fruit trees, and we've planted a lemon tree and a mandarin tree. Our lemon tree is being a good tree. It's producing lemons at the moment. Our mandarin is a little bit slow, but we've got to keep waiting for it, and it'll produce eventually. But if my lemon tree started to produce thorns and thistles and things that are poisonous, it's not meant to do that. It's a lemon tree. And Jesus says to his disciples, no good tree bears bad fruit. We're not meant to bear bad fruit. Not meant to be bad in our character, ungodly in our character. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Where is our heart? What is it full of? We are good trees. Be good trees. Let God produce by his grace in us. And then eyeballing his disciples, who are really glad that they're following this one who can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. You know, be following Jesus. And he says to them, and he looks at them, and he looks at us who love calling Jesus our Lord and loving him. Why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? What good is that? He's saying, we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We are to be as Christ to the world by the grace of God. One day, we will stand before Jesus and we will be asked to give an account of the life that we've lived. And if we've lived it on the life of Jesus and followed him and put our trust in Jesus, then it'll be one who has, and what he's done for us in his life and death, we'll be ones as one who has built the house of our life on good and solid foundation. We will be as disciples of Christ. We can be certain of the things that we've been taught. But woe if we don't. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? The passage before us has much to tell. I could spend ages here with you, as you could in your Bible study time. But I've just written out a little conclusion to sum up this passage that's here before us. Having chosen his disciples, Jesus has gone on to tell them what it means to be a disciple of Christ. He went down with them and stood on a level plain, looking at them in the eye. What is good for me is meant to be good for you. It is not a matter of fine words or religious adherence, but of a whole way of life, of being God's means of bringing his love and that which is right and good in and to a world through us and like for him at our expense. It's not about an easy life. It's rather the opposite. It goes against our selfish nature and our countercultural. It will face ridicule. It will be opposed. It will be hated. And we will be ridiculed. We will be opposed. And we will be hated. And logic and human reason, wisdom, will tell us we are fools to go along with this. They will expect of us to avoid, not comply, and compromise. But this is our lot. This is the reality of a disciple of Christ's life. We are not to think we know better than God. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. We who are loved by God are to show that love to an unloved world. We who have found satisfaction in God are to give the world the experience of its truth. And we who have been given sight to see the truth and acknowledge to know what is right and good are to bring that to a world that is blind and lost. We do so with the knowledge of the certainty of a present reality that is a future hope. That great is our reward in heaven. Ours is the kingdom of God. Ours is the satisfaction and the lasting joy of being God's people now and forever. The knowledge of which is of benefit now to do as Christ would have us do, to be what God would have us to be. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for choosing to have mercy upon us and to show us unmerited favour and to grant us the grace to allow your Son Jesus to live the perfect life, to die on the cross and rise from the dead and now ascend to you at your right hand and will come again one day to fulfill all that you are planning to do and have done. We thank you that you've made us to see and to put our trust and faith in Jesus as the Son of God, the one who has come to seek us who were lost and now have been found. We have been reminded this morning, as you reminded Jesus of your disciples there, coming alongside us and coming down amongst us on the plain, looking at us in the eyeballing us and saying, this is our lot. This is what it means to follow you, Jesus. Lord God, grant us the grace, grant us the joy, grant us the satisfaction of living life as examples to the world of what it longs for and needs, pointing people to you, Jesus, and the hope that we have found in you. Grant us the grace to be examples in our home, in our places of work, at play, and here at St. Andrew's always, and wherever we might be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, and as we continue through reading Psalm 119 together, not all in one big lot, that's why we've broken it up, but it's amazing how each of the little passages of which we've broken up Psalm 119 sum up what we've heard just before and a way of applying it to our lives. So let's say this together. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Let's stand and sing once more. God has spoken by his prophets, spoken his unchanging word, each from age to age proclaiming God the one, the righteous Lord. In the world's despair and turmoil, one firm anchor still holds fast. God is King, his throne eternal, God the first and God the last. Thanks for listening. Surely Diane's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. But before we do, having heard God speak to us through his word, let's come before our God and pray these words, that although we are the people of God, The scriptures remind us that we still sin. And so we need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us draw near to God now, with who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy. And let's pray to him with sincerity and confidence these words together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger. Isn't that good? God is full of compassion. Isn't that good? He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Thank you, God. Let's pray the prayer that our Father, that Jesus has taught us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thanks, Diane.
O Father, God of grace, we thank you for your compassion on us. We praise you for your creation and your word of hope, which gives us strength. Hear us now as we offer our prayers to you for the world, our nation, and our community. Let us pray that we may respond to the word of God taught to us this morning. God, our Father, help us to hear your Son. Enlighten us with your word, that we may find the way to your glory. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, ruler of all, in whose kingdom peace and righteousness abound, we pray for those who are in conflict. Have mercy on your broken and divided world, and shed your peace in the hearts of all involved in conflict. Protect the victims of those who seek war, and protect those who are defending their freedom. We thank you for uniting countries neighbouring Ukraine in their efforts to take in and care for the refugees of this conflict. And we pray for international support in providing for all their needs and help in making plans for their immediate futures. We thank you for the united efforts at putting in place sanctions by so many world leaders to discourage Putin's aggression. Please, loving Father, turn Putin's heart to withdraw his soldiers from Ukraine and retreat for his ambitions to expand his control across Russia's neighbouring country borders. Dear Lord, we continue to feel the presence of COVID in our lives across Australia. We pray that you will protect us from severe illness and see this pandemic come to an end soon. We ask that you will draw us close to you and help us draw on your strength if we start to feel overwhelmed. May your Holy Spirit be a constant companion, reminding us of your power over all things and restoring in us your peace. We thank you again for the health workers who have bravely faced the heaviest brunt over the past couple of years, and we pray that they will find rest in you as they continue to turn up to work in what must seem like their version of Groundhog Day. Protect them, restore them, and uphold them each and every day, we pray. We are grateful that you call us to serve you and that you provide us with the various gifts required to fulfil the work we are called to do. We direct our prayers this March especially to our BCA family in Kununurra, Western Australia, the Pharisees. We ask for your blessings on their ministry to the diverse and itinerant population in this area. We also offer prayers for the work of Anglican hospital chaplains and ask that you will lead them into meaningful and life-changing conversations with those to whom you lead them to speak. We bring to you our state government leaders, especially New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet and the opposition leader Chris Minns, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk and Western Australian Premier Mark McGowan, along with our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, as they face the incredible need within Queensland and New South Wales flood districts and the Western Australian bushfire areas. Provide them with great wisdom, power and humility to serve our nation well and provide clear leadership in addressing the overwhelming need of so many at the same time who have lost so much and in many cases for the second time in 12 months. We thank you for the compassionate and selfless hearts that were displayed by those who provided what was needed so quickly when help seemed so far away for so many. We seek your provision of your comfort and peace to all who have lost, helped and faced the recovery from the devastation of their current circumstances. Guide councils and governments to put new plans and processes in place for future planning and assessment of suitability of land for housing development and adequate flood protection around established towns, and build up radical response planning for rapid support for natural disasters like those we in Australia have seen over the past few years. Build up a heart in all of us to face the issue of climate change and aggressively work to reduce the harm we, as humans, are contributing to this problem. Continue to bless us and sustain us with the resources we need for life. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those in our church family who are ill or in need of God's comfort at this time. Lynn, Jean, Fiona, Kay, Max, Jennifer and Brian, for those who care for them and those under whose care they are being treated. May they be restored to health of body and mind according to your will, and in the presence of your people give thanks to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal God, shepherd of your people, we feel the fleeting passage of life and have been reminded how fragile our existence is on this tiny planet. We confess with the prophet Isaiah, all flesh is grass, and all its glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Yet we also confess the word of our God stands forever. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In our human frailty, we need to look to you as frightened children look to their mother, for you alone can comfort and sustain us. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us by your continual help that in all our works begun, continued and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Would you stand, and as we come to the end of our service together, let's encourage each other by saying what we believe. Would you please stand? Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Well, after the service today, please grab a coffee and please stay for our annual general meeting. There are information up the back, the parish reports, financial reports, and an agenda at the back on the table to the right, my right, your left. Please grab one of those and bring them back into the service immediately after. Just grab your coffee and tea and come back in again. If you haven't yet filled out your National Church Life Survey online, the information how to do that is in our church news and notes. If you'd like a hard copy, come and see me afterwards. Thank you again for giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. You'll notice at the end of the pews, if you choose this month to support the work of the Pharisees in Kununurra, you can do so by placing an extra little donation in that envelope and place it in the offertory box at the back of the church as you leave. After church today, both Manette and I think Tony or Dick, I think it's Dick, are on prayer today. And if you'd like some special prayer today, please come up the front and pray with them. They'd love to support you and encourage you in that time. Now, as I said to the young people last week and to our teachers, that I would get us to say something that we've learnt from church this week. And they're smiling, very grateful. And they're all frowning now and going, oh my goodness, and ducking behind everybody a little bit. But I'm going to ask you now to think about what does it mean from what we've heard from God's word today for you to be a disciple of Christ? What does it mean for you to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ? What's he looked you in the eye and encouraged you to work at or to enjoy being at or to know? I'll ask a couple of people just to put up their hand and maybe tell me and share with the rest of us and especially our young people from Kids Church today. Diane?
Being different is okay.
For those who are listening in, being different is okay.
Especially
with following Christ. That's normal. That's what we're to expect. All right, it's hard going. Yep. Kay? Kay is saying it makes us a better person. It makes us what God in us is working by his Spirit to make us more like Jesus. And I think you'd agree too that it's what the world needs also. And we are his instruments by which he uses us to do that in the world. Anyone else? Maybe one more? Dick? Yes. Bill? Yes. Yes. I wonder if we could look Jesus back in the eye as he did with the disciples and said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, and so, yes, we are to be able to look him in the eye and say, God, grant us the grace, Jesus, to put into practice what you want us to be and to do, to be his disciples. Lord, grant us the grace to do so. And that's what our last song actually reminds us to do. Please, to build our lives on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness, for our hope is built on him and him alone. Let's stand and sing our song together.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Seems to veil his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, When the last trumpet's voice shall sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. All other ground is sinking. All other ground is sinking sand.
Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.